This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Durham's historic Carolina Theater has hosted the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival since 1995. The first festival drew 500 attendees, but the event has grown to be one of the country's largest celebrations of gay cinema. This year, 10,000 people are expected to descend on downtown Durham to watch features, documentaries, and short films. The North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival kicks off tomorrow, and here with a preview is Chuck Wheeler, the chair of the festival's Men's Programming Committee. Welcome back to the program, Chuck. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You have been with the festival since it started, 16 years ago.
I've been with the festival for a long time. I think I've been, Frank, actually 15 years. I wasn't there the first year, but I volunteered many years ago, joined the programming committee the second year, and have been with it ever since.
What was the impetus behind the festival 15 years ago, 16 years ago when it got started?
The impetus behind the festival at that time was to bring a sense of community to the LGBT population here in North Carolina, specifically in the Triangle area, and from that has grown one of the largest festivals, LGBT festivals in the United States.
It has grown quickly. Is it distinct, the Durham Festival? Because now there are many others in the country, and this is one of the largest. And apart from its size, is there anything else that distinguishes the Durham Festival?
I don't think there's anything that distinguishes it from other gay and lesbian film festivals as far as being exceptional. What I think is unique about this festival is that we live in a city of, what, a couple hundred thousand people, and yet we manage to rival film festivals in L.A., San Francisco, New York. We are among the top 10 film festivals in the United States. And we're growing every year. We'll go to 10 days next year. And so what might make it unique is for a state as conservative as North Carolina, for a city as small as Durham, is the number of people who come out and support us enthusiastically every year.
What do you think accounts for that?
As a programmer?
Mm-hmm.
We provide the best films.
That has to be your answer.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Monique Velasquez, who is my co-chair, we begin in early March every year. Frank, we go through hundreds of films. Time is always limited, so we're forced to cut many films that we would like to schedule. And we're proud of the quality.
What are you looking for in films?
Of course, we're looking for a film that is enjoyable, that has. It can either be entertaining or it can have importance to our community. But also, Frank, you always have to think, will this fill a seat as well? You want to have films that draw the interest of the community. So we also, at the same time, realize that there are new and emerging filmmakers out there. I'm sitting next to one right now, so that we want to give them a spotlight so that they too can grow.
Well, we're going to talk with Dina Coble in just a second. I want to hear about some of the other films in the festival, one of them by an emerging artist, the Emerging Artist Award winner, Au Pair Kansas. Can you tell us about the film?
Sure. That's the men's selection emerging artist feature. Au Pair Kansas is about a Swedish soccer player who comes to Kansas as an au pair for a family, two young boys who are fatherless. The mother's played by Tracy Lords. Mm. Now, some of you may not recall who she is. Google her, I would recommend. She's very good in the role. And the mystery is he gay? But I will tell you now, there's an even bigger mystery. So I would recommend you see the film without divulging the plot. It's a wonderful film.
Or Tracy Lords' background in film, which you can find if you Google her.
Please do.
We'll talk more about that. Now, you've also selected a film called Spork, set in a high school full of adolescent archetypes, jocks, bullies, nerds. They're all there, mean girls, and even some who dance and sing their nastiness. Let's listen.
Is it 'cause I'm cool? Why you dress like me? Is it honesty? Are you just a fool? Is it 'cause I'm cool? Why the school kids laugh? 'Cause the papers got it wrong again. Is it 'cause I'm cool? Take a piece of me.
go. A little bit of the song from Spork. Tell us about this film.
Frank, we love this film. Spork was the audience favorite last year at Tribeca. We could not book it last year. We're lucky enough to have it this year. It's about an intersex character. She identifies female, not accepted in her school. She's surrounded by Britney characters. The Britney character, her name is Betsy Biatch, so if you get my drift. And so she befriends an African-American woman, a teenager, who is a dancer. And she also has a gay friend. And her goal is to be accepted. But what her goal really should be is to be comfortable within herself. And she learns that through a dance competition during the film.
And that one is Spork. And we've been talking about men's programming, but I want to focus now on women's programming for a bit. The festival features a movie called Leading Ladies. Tell us about that one.
Sure. Leading Ladies is the centerpiece for the women's programming. That's on Saturday night at the festival in Fletcher Hall. And it's about two women who are ballroom dancers. And I'll leave it at that. Two sisters who have secrets that they haven't told each other. One, of course, is lesbian. And a relationship blossoms during the film. And the dance-off ends up being a dance-off unlike anyone you've seen in previous films. It's not like the Monday Night Dancing with the Stars, I'll tell you what, whatever the title of that show
is.
I've never actually seen it, Frank.
But I know a lot of people make reference to it, and it must be good.
It must be good.
But the film is even better. So we've been talking about the films. Let's talk to a couple of filmmakers. We're talking about the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival on this program today. It gets underway tomorrow through Sunday and at the Carolina Theater in downtown Durham. The festival regularly attracts entries from filmmakers around the world, but it always saves room for cinema projects by local folks, men and women with a North Carolina connection. And my next two guests are Dina Coble, filmmaker behind Kings and Queens, a royal family of drag in North Carolina. Dina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you. Gary Lane is on the phone with us. He's co-producer and co-star of the documentary Hollywood to Dollywood. Hi, Gary.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
I think we're all doing well. Are we doing well?
We are.
Okay.
Hi, Gary.
Gary, let me start with you. The other star of the documentary is your twin brother, Larry. Two of you grew up in North Carolina, where you first began to develop your affection for country music idol Dolly Parton. Tell us about this.
Well, actually, we did grow up in North Carolina, and we did always, you know, think Dolly was amazing. So we write screenplays, and we wrote this particular screenplay. We've been writing it for 4 years, and we wrote a specific character in it just for her. So Hollywood to Dollywood turned into, after we finished this script, we decided, how are we going to try to put this in her hands and really let her know how much she does mean to us? And so we kind of did the whole planning out the trip, because the 25th anniversary of Dollywood was last year, and that was somewhere where we knew she was going to be. So we planned out this trip, but kind of along the way, it became more than just a trip to Dollywood, because me and my brother really faced the issues that we were going through with growing up in North Carolina and not being able to be out and be accepted by everyone in our community. So it kind of just became this journey of like realization for what we were going through in our own life, and Dolly was a big part of that.
Well, tell us a little bit about that growing up. Where did you grow up, and how difficult was it?
We grew up in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and me and my brother have been lucky enough to work in a lot of movies. We were in Zoolander. We've, you know, done commercials that have gone national. So in our town, we're kind of known as, you know, the twins, and we've, you know, we're here in Dallas right now shooting a commercial for Virgin Atlantic. So we've had a really good run at being twins and doing a lot of, you know, positive commercial and things, but we've never really been truthful about, you know, who we are, because we've always tried to shield our family from that. It's just, you know, we kind of came to a point in our life where you just get to where you're not ashamed of who you are anymore, and you're proud of who you are and all you've accomplished. And a lot of that is in Hollywood to Dollywood, is when we kind of reached that moment.
And I want to hear some of that right now in the film, because in a sense, you use this film to come out to some members of your family. Let's listen.
As far as our life in North Carolina, there's seven core people that we care about, and that's our mom, our dad, our grandma, our brother and his wife, and our niece and nephew. So long as those seven people in North Carolina are proud of us and love us, then I could care less about any of the rest of them.
We come from a small town in North Carolina, and they all know that we're out in Hollywood. They just don't know that we're out in Hollywood.
I want to tell our story and I want to be truthful, but those seven people at the end of this, it could completely change the situation we've got. Now, that's what scares the shit out of me. It would be horrible if it did cost us our family, and that's the whole thing, you know, in a nutshell. But at this point in our life, we're 35 years old, and we just got to have the strength and the courage to take that risk, and whatever happens, happens.
First, talk about that. I'm going to ask you if it has hurt you and what happened when the film came out. But I really want you to talk about that distinction between they all know we're out, but they don't know we're out. Because growing up in a small town, you must know that everybody knows and that nobody knows. Can you describe that for what that's like to go through?
Yeah, it's kind of it's hard for me and my brother also because of what we do like out in California, because you have a lot of people. When you're from a small town, if you set out to chase a dream and you're chasing that dream, you know, some people are jealous of it. So we've actually even had family members, cousins and things like that, if they did a write-up about us in gay magazines or things like that, would show it to our family. You know, so we've had our own inner workings against you, and you have to kind of deal with that. But as me and Larry, as we get a little bit more known, and we just did a crazy show called Wipeout on ABC, and we actually won the $50,000, and we used that money to pay for the Dolly music that's in the movie. But when we did that, like the bloggers, like Advocate, all these big, you know, Out magazine, they kind of blogged, you know, gay twins win Wipeout to produce their movie. And so, you know, it's kind of like the more things we do, it's just getting where it can't be covered up anymore because it's just out there. And, you know, and we're at a point now where our motto is nobody pays our bills. So long as our parents continue to talk to us and love us, then we don't care about anybody else. The rest of them that we went to church with and we went to school with that would judge us, it doesn't matter to us because we know that, you know, we're good people and we have an amazing life and we're proud of who we are. We're not ashamed of it.
Gary, I wanted to let Gary. This is Chuck Wheeler. How are you?
Hey, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Your film is so sweet. We loved it. I want to let you know that firsthand. But I also want to let everyone know that tickets are selling so well for your feature that we've actually added a fifth showing. The Carolina Theater has. So we are so excited that the both of you will be attending this year.
Absolutely. And I know I've already got our – we are going to be there on Saturday the 13th, and we're going to be playing at 11 a.m. and doing a Q&A after. And then the new show is the 9 p.m. on Saturday. We're going to do a Q&A. And then on Sunday, we're going to play with you guys at 2:30 p.m., and we're going to host another Q&A there.
Sounds great. And Dina Coble is here as well. And Dina, your film is in the festival. It's called Kings and Queens. And tell us about that. First of all, tell us about who is a drag queen?
Well, that can be it's not a simple answer. Usually a drag queen is someone who, you know, dresses up in women's clothing. And that's a male, and they could do it for any number of reasons. That's the thing that I ran into as I began to make this film is that you really couldn't say, okay, once you see this, you'll know everything about it because people do it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. A huge reason is theatrical, but when I went out and interviewed people to say, I'm going to do this movie about drag queens and drag moms, what's your question? And people were like, well, do they really want to be a woman? You know, and that was the biggest question for most people, straight or gay, was do these people want to become a woman? And the answer was yes and no. Yes to those who are maybe transsexual who see themselves as female, and this is the kind of job that they can get. But no for others who see it as a theatrical outlet, and it's how they do theater. So it was an interesting set of answers.
Well, what's fascinating is that in either case, whether you see yourself as an actor, or somebody who is making a theatrical representation, this is an identity, who you are, the actor, or it's a gender
exactly.
Identity. But in that case, identities come from families, and what you investigate here is the drag family.
Exactly.
And how that's organized. Explain that to us, and how long has that been a phenomenon?
You know, the time frame on it was hard to nail down because there was so many different people that would come up with a different answer on that. But basically, a drag family evolves from if you want to go into drag and you've not done it before, you know, you're a guy who's wanting to put on some makeup, you haven't had that training, you don't know what you're doing, you find somebody you want to emulate, or if you're a drag king, you find someone you want to emulate their performance style, and you network your way towards them. And then at that point, they can take you under their wing and teach you that the aspects of the business, because it is a business. And then from there, it can also, they tend to develop into their personal sides as well. I mean, your drag mom will help you through situations, and they see themselves as a surrogate mother to the children that they have. And there is the concept too, though, that there's a legacy. If you're going to be my drag child, you will probably take my name. It's not always the case. And you will give credit where credit is due.
Well, let's hear from one of the subjects of your film who talks about that very thing. This is Bella talking about his drag family.
You'd want your drag children, and at least I do, to definitely achieve their own individual style on stage, but and also to emulate you to some degree without being a carbon copy. You know, same with, you know, a biological parent and child. You know, you want them to continue on your legacy, but not literally be exactly who you are.
Yep, that was my mistake. That was not Belle. That's Tia.
Tia Chanel.
And so the idea that this feels like a very formal role. This is not something that Tia came to without forethought. Thought about this.
Exactly. It is something that, you know, when you take on a child, you have to decide, how many do I have? Can I handle another role? How extensive will it be? And they're opening up. Well, I love one of the things she says, you know, they've opened up their life in their closet. That's not a term that I would think about talking about as a mother, you know, oh, I'm going to open up my closet. But they do. It's like when you're starting out in drag, it's so expensive that you get that drag mom, you turn to her for your wigs, your dresses, things along those lines, and makeup and style and skills, and they help you develop that. And so she does choose. And I've seen this is also a feature length film. The short is at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, but there's a feature length which goes into another family. And in that family, it's very much about performance and having excellent performance. And if you're not up there, you don't hold that role, you may be twinked right out of the family.
I only saw this film this morning. Dina and I met just earlier, and it's 20 minutes, and I was blown away. It raises so many questions about sexuality, gender identification, transgender issues, and it's jam-packed into 23, 24 minutes of film. I am so impressed and so happy to meet
you. And the role of nurturing in creating an identity. And so when you see things working this way in this film, it makes you it makes very clear for you what happens when anyone is, if we are not nurtured, because there's something about our identity that a family or a community won't accept. Mm-hmm. What does that mean if our identity isn't nurtured?
Have you seen Paris is Burning?
I'm sorry, no.
I was reminded of the film Dina and I had this conversation early, where these drag families do form a community, a support system that allows them, once they are possibly rejected by their own families, a way
and
for them to come
rejected.
Together. Yes, most often to come together and nurture each other and grow.
Chuck, what's ahead for the festival itself? 16 years, it's grown from 500 to 10,000 people. What's next for the festival?
Growing. We, as I told you earlier, our CEO, Bob Nosek, announced, CEO to Bob Nosek announced recently that we would be expanding to 10 days next year. I said earlier, this year people talk about us and compare us to Miami or to Philly. I would love for next year, Frank, for people to talk about NCGLFF and the Carolina Theater and refer to us in the same sentence as New York, San Francisco, L.A. We're getting there. We're growing and we're getting better every day, every year.
We'll have you back next year. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Gary Lane was with us. He's one of the filmmakers who made Hollywood to Dollywood. Dina Coble is filmmaker behind Kings and Queens, a royal family of drag in North Carolina. Dina, yeah?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. When you go to this film, it's not just about drag. It's going to also hit on to evolving people to see themselves beyond their gender and into individuality. And I know that, you know, your groups here that listen to WNC are all about supporting new and creative thought and film. And if they want, they can go to www.kickstarter.com and type in NC space LGBT and support the film there if they'd like as well.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. And Chuck Wheeler, chair of the men's programming for North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. You can find out more about that. Visit carolinatheater.org/NCGLFF. On the State of Things coming up, the forgotten artist is remembered at Gallery C in Raleigh. Stay with us on the State of Things.